Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Said, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. College students, we will have dinner on Tuesday, December the 31st at the Menger Hotel. Tuesday is our luncheon, pastor and wife's luncheon for college students, and it's going to be Tuesday at the Menger Hotel, December the 31st at noon. Choir, lead us.
Church, Lord, we need
need you, we need you, we need you, we need you, we need you, Lord. Please be glorified today. Father, be glorified, be glorified, be glorified, be glorified, be glorified, Lord. In every part of my life, I need to be glorified today.
Come on, why don't you say it? In my life, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. How many of you want to glorify the Lord today? In my life, can I get some witnesses here? In my life, be glorified.
In my life, Lord.
Be glorified.
In my life, Lord.
In my life.
I need you.
Be glorified.
I need you.
In my life.
Well,
be glorified.
Yeah. In
today.
My life, I give the praise to you. I give the glory to
in
you, Lord.
Life.
Yes, I do. Be glorified today.
Lord our God, you're worthy of all our praise. You're worthy of all our thanksgiving. You're worthy of every gift that we have to give. And so we say to you today, in my life, Lord, be glorified. Not just tomorrow, but today. We glorify you. We praise you for all that you've done. We bless you for bringing us to the threshold of a new year. It's just a couple of days away, oh God. And we thank you for your guidance, for your mercy, your love, your compassion, and even your forgiveness. So we glorify you. We praise you. We honor you. We magnify your name. Thank you for being God to us, a God for us. Thank you. We praise you. We remember what you have done. And we thank you for what you shall do. And all the people of God said, amen. And those who are not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, help me praise God for this wonderful, wonderful men's course. Why the past should be remembered. In the book of Deuteronomy, it is the fifth book of the Bible in the canon that we read, God's holy word. In the Torah, we find these words. All the commandments which I command to thee this day, shall ye observe to do them, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteth his son, so the Lord chasteth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his way and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that bring out of valleys, that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive and honey. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, I have some reasons why the past should be remembered. I have some memories about my past. Some are good, some are not so good. Some are excellent, and some need a little gravy, a little grace. I have some precious memories, how they linger in my soul. I have memories of my accepting Christ. I have memories of my baptism. I have memories of my old Sunday school teachers, my old elementary and high school teachers, and college and seminary teachers, and graduate school teachers. I have precious memories. But I also have some memories of some bad times, times when I did not have what I have today, times when I did not drive a nice car, but a jalopy. What'd you call it? A hoopty. Come on, y'all help me now. I have those memories of when, if it rained, there were certain shoes I could not wear. Y'all catching it, don't you? Because there were holes in the sole of the shoes. I guess I'm the only one that remember how good God has been and how God has brought us to a different phase, a different point in life than where we were. I remember signs that over a water cooler in H.L. Green's that said white only. Y'all don't remember that. You don't. Maybe you remember, but you don't want to remember. I remember traveling through that great state of Alabama on my way to Mobile, and got off the Greyhound bus and went into the bus station. Lady asked me what I wanted, and I told her what I wanted. She said, "You have to go to the back." Oh, y'all don't remember that, do you? I remember when I applied to SMU, Perkins Theological Seminary, to go to seminary, and I was turned away because they had their quota. They didn't have but three. a junior, a middler, and a senior. But that was all that they needed, one to represent every class. I would have been the fourth one. Not because of my grade point, not because I could not do the work, not because I couldn't learn Greek and Hebrew, but because of the color of my skin, I could not get in. I remember being turned down from there, from the Navy, because I made the mistake when they asked what my race was, I put down the word Negroid. God said, there's no Negroid race. You either colored or you're white. These are memories, but I have another memory that I need to share with you, and that is the memory of how far God has brought. Oh, when I look back and see how far God has brought me, I have to rejoice. My soul rejoices in the Lord because of his goodness. Can I tell you something? God speaks to the children of Israel after bringing them out of slavery, after bringing them out of the land of Egypt, and they are wandering and have wandered in the wilderness. He says to them, I need you to remember the way which the Lord thy God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. And these are the reason why I let you wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And that was to humble you. And that was to prove that you could be faithful. And that's that second verse. That you would know what was in thine heart, whether I should keep my commandments or not. When I look at this, I remember that God also remembers. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Psalm 111 in the fifth verse. Of course, God remembers. How could he forget? Yet scripture does not say that he will not remember our sin. Isaiah 43 and 25. How can that be when God is omniscient? He knows all things. The scripture reference of remember is different than how we typically use the term. When God remembers his covenant or his promises, it is not that it has slipped from his mind and now something jogs his memory. His covenant and his promises never slip or skip his mind. When he remembers, he fulfills and acts in accordance with what he promised by his covenant. When God does not remember your sin, he chooses to not base his actions on your sin. He acts on his promise. He's remembering. He does not act on your sin. It's that he's not remembering, but he has forgiven your sin. That's good news. Can I say that again? That's good news. What's good news? That God remembers our sins no more. That's good news. And it's personal. What God does, what does God remember specifically about you? What specific promise has he given you? What's specific to your baptism? The reason why God remembers you. His name is upon you and his promise to forgive you and me for our sins. He has rescued you and me from death and the devil and given us eternal life. He's given us salvation because he remembers. The past should be remembered
First of all, because it reminds us that blessed are all who take refuge in God. Blessed are all who take refuge in God. Psalm 2 and 12. The Lord is my refuge and my strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Psalm 2 and 12 said, blessed are all who take refuge in him. The joy of the eternal Son of God being born in human flesh is manifold. Part of that joy is that Christ will endure in his flesh everything that you will ever endure. Whatever physical suffering you will ever know, Christ endured it in his body. Whatever emotional turmoil you have ever known from the betrayal of family and friends, Christ endured it in the flesh. Whatever spiritual ants has begotten you or beset you so that you wonder if God still cares for you, Christ bore it on the cross. Not only did Christ bear all of your griefs and carry all of your sorrows, but he also brought them to completion. He is victorious over them. That's why you are blessed that he is your refuge. As your refuge, he perfectly understands whatever vexes you because he has endured it himself. As your refuge, he has defeated whatever problems you go through and whatever fears that you may have. Christ is a height of sympathy. The good news is all captured in his birth. Though he is fully divine and with all authority, he chooses to not make full use of his authority. Instead, he endures, or he has endured everything that he might be our refuge, even to the point of being a newborn baby crying for his mother. He is our refuge. He is, what the writer says, a mighty battle axe in the time of war. Martin Luther King, the German theologian, the German preacher, writes, a mighty fortress is our God. Can I tell you something else why we should remember the past? Not only because God has been our refuge and will be our refuge, but we also can remember the past because his word is sweeter than honey. Yeah, yeah. Psalm 119, verse 103 reads, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 34 and 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I need to ask Second Baptist a question. Have you ever taste to see if God is good? Oh, trust God and see if he would not provide you with whatever you need. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Prove him, try him, and discover that he is good. David writes, oh, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Honey is unique. It's the only food that never spoils. It may dry over time so that you may need to hydrate it, but it will not go bad. That made it quite valuable in the ancient world. When the chief means of preserving food was through salt, Honey was a special treat to bring sweetness. No wonder John the Baptist had honey as a part of his diet in the wilderness. No wonder Israel received with joy the Lord's promise that he was giving them a land flowing with milk and honey. As desired as honey was and still is, the word of the Lord is even sweeter. This is more than personal piety. The psalmist's devotion of your own may prompt a sense of sweetness of God's word, yet its sweetness is there even when we do not sense it. Distracted by the worries of life, we may treat God's word as an obligation and even something that can be dropped from our daily schedule when other priorities demand. Even this, his word remains sweet. Even when we turn away from the word of God, God's word still remains sweet. Even when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, God's word still remains sweet. Even when the devil takes away everything that we have, his word still remains sweet. I like what Job said, though he slay me, still will I trust him, because his word is sweet. His promises are sweeter. Sweeter as the days go by is the word of God. Even when death come creeping in my room and sickness is upon my body and upon the bodies of persons that I love and upon the bodies of members of this church, and I stand by their bedside and pray with them and cry with them, then I turn to God's word and discover that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. His word is still sweet, no matter what we're going through. His sweetness is bound up in one, Jesus the Christ. The word of God, the word of the Lord, delivers Christ and all his benefits to us. A child may tire of a mother's love, yet her love remains sweet. Our Father's love for us in Christ is ever sweet, delivering to us the Christ child. And we just celebrated his birthday. And some of us are upset because we didn't get the gift that we wanted. But can I tell you about a gift that is greater than any gift that you could have received? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting. You talking about preacher, preach. I'm preaching right now. There's nothing like the love of God. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Barely staying within, seeking to rise no more. But the love of God. The love of God lifted me. And so I can remember because he is my refuge. I can remember because his word is sweeter than honey. But finally, I can remember because of what God has done, and it reminds me to worship God. In Psalm 72 and 11, it says, may all kings fall down before him, and all nations serve him. Some people, not members of Second Baptist, but some members of other churches, some people spend more time worshiping their dogs or pets than they do worshiping God. But Second Baptist, we come to worship God. We come to praise God. We don't come to look and see what you're wearing. We don't care what you're wearing. We just care that when you leave this place, you will feel better than when you came. And when you leave here, you'll feel different. You'll have a praise on your lips. Praise. We don't care what you wear. We care that you wear the badge of Christ. when you leave this place. We don't care whether you speak in tongues or not. We care whether you speak a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of joy. May all kings fall down before him and all nations serve him. The biblical posture for worship is on your knees with your nose on the ground. The Hebrew and Greek verbs readily translate as worship in the Bible means to prostrate. It means to lay out before God. Worship involves getting down on your knees, bowing to the ground in humility before the one who's greater than you. Bending the knees before someone communicates depth of honor and respect. The young man on his knees before the woman he loves demonstrates the dignity in which he holds for her. I never forget when I asked Jackie if she'd marry me. I was standing on 2 feet. She said, "Yes, Jimerson, I'll marry you, but you gotta ask my daddy." Oh, Lord. June, I went to your dad, and he was seated, and I said to him, "Reverend Locke, I'd like to marry your daughter." He said, "If you marry her, you know what? It's going to bring you to your knees." Oh, y'all missed that. And guess what? I find myself many times expressing my love for Jackie by going on my knees. I'm not talking about kneeling on my knees. I'm talking about humbling myself and saying when she says, "Jimerson," I say, "Yes, baby." That's going on my knees. If it speaks volume when you're able to go on your knees in Revelation, John sees a mighty, majestic being. And so John falls down and he falls down on his knees. The angels tells him, "Get up," that he is only to bow before the true and living God. It speaks volume when people bow themselves to Jesus. He does not tell them to get up. He is God. He is God. He is the Almighty One. He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of all of our thanksgiving. And so, my brothers and sisters, that is seen today as we rejoice in the Epiphany of our Lord, a festival time that includes the visit of the Magi. Upon their arrival, guess what they did? They fell down before him. We kneel at the altar every first Sunday. We kneel, we present ourselves to Christ, and we humble ourselves under the bread and the wine. What do you find in the presence of God? I find in the presence of God blessings that I cannot count. When I worship him, when I throw up my hands and clap my hands and shake my shoulders and pat my feet, it's just a way of kneeling before God and saying to God, "You are the God of my forefathers. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the God that's worthy of all our praise and all our thanksgiving." I say to Second Baptist in 2020, don't forget to worship God. Don't forget to come to church. Don't forget to praise him. Don't forget to honor him. Don't forget to acknowledge his lordship in your life. He is worthy of every praise. He's worthy of every thanksgiving we can give to him. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is the one whose word is sweeter than honey. And he's worthy of all of our praise. Guess what? And I'm through. But out on a hill called Calvary, after they had beat him, after they had marched him up the road of sorrow, the road of Villa de Rosa, after he was there, and after they had hung him, after they had lifted him up, And after he had dropped his head in the locks of his shoulder and cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." After it said to the thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," hung his head in the locks of his shoulder and died and cried, declared, "It is finished." And the sun refused to shine. Darkness upon the face of the earth. And after a soldier had stuck a spear in his side and blood and water, thank God for the blood of Jesus the Christ. Blood trickling down. There was a non-believer, a Roman soldier, who stood there, saw Christ die. And guess what he said? In worship and in praise, he said, "Surely, surely, he was the Son of God." Is there anybody here that would go to be with Calvary? And though you don't understand everything, you just understand one thing. Surely, surely, he is the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Son of the living God. He is my refuge. His word is sweeter than honey. And I thank God that I know him. That I know him for myself. I know what Big Mama used to tell me. Robert, trust him. But guess what? I learned to trust him for myself. When I go through my difficulties, my ups and my downs, I still got a word of praise on my lips. Thank you, thank you, thank you, David, for saying, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of me glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Clap your hands, shout hallelujah. Praise God. Is there anybody here that know the value of remembering what God has done for you? I like what Jesse Jackson said. Jesse Jackson said, "He brought us out of the cotton field driving wagons, but now we drive Cadillacs." And that's because of God's goodness to us. Don't know about you, but I thank God for whatever I have. I thank him for sparing my life. I thank him for giving me a family. I thank him for giving me the opportunity to worship and to lead the people of Second Baptist. Why? Why do I work so hard? Why do I praise him so hard? Why do I walk around with a smile on my face and whistling? Because he is the source of my joy. Is there anybody here that he is the source of your joy? Our joy in the Lord. Oh, he's worthy. He's worthy. And the church of God said, amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 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 To the King of Kings. To the Lord of Lords. Church is standing. The door to my Father's house is standing open. I invite you to come. Oh Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the world.
Bless me, O gentle Savior.
Hear
my
own.
Father, thou art Lord.
you, men. I look forward to hearing you on Wednesday night, the 22nd of January, at the Omni Hotel at 6:30 p.m. To our guests, I'd like for you to join me and Mrs. Jimerson and her sister, my sister-in-law June, for lunch. It's in the community center, and that lunch is being paid for by Reverend Jimerson. Somebody will say amen.
Amen.
And whoever invited you to come, they invited to join you for lunch. And Reverend Jimerson will pay for their lunch too this time. And so we invite you to come and to share. Oh Lord our God, how excellent is our name in all the earth. You're more than a life coach. You're more than one who supports us. You're one who sustains us and who orders our step in your word. And so we pray now that as we leave this place, some of us will not return until 2020. And some of us will not return to worship in this place, but will greet us on high as we praise your name in the heavens. And so we pray that you would bless us and that you would keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and that you be gracious unto us.
Yeah, yeah.
Lift your countenance upon us and give us your peace, that we may know that the Lord is our refuge, that we may know that the word of God is sweeter than honey, and that we may know that we can live eternally with you. And so we bless you now as we ask your blessings upon us. May the road rise up to meet us. May the wind be at our backs. May the sun shine brightly upon our fields. May the rain fall softly upon our fields. And until we meet again, be it 2019 or 2020, may you hold each one of us in the palm of your hand. And all the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Go in peace and know the salvation of God.